الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this week's Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be on a very beautiful surah, a chapter, with chapter Ikhlas, which is the 112th chapter in Quran. Quran is made up of 114 chapters, and the third from the end, which is the 112th chapter, and this particular chapter is one that we're going to just read a little bit about. It's just a few lines in this particular verses in this particular chapter, and I'm going to talk about it because it really highlights the who Allah is and really who Allah is not. This whole class I've been teaching for all these years, it talks about who Allah is and who Allah is not. And this particular chapter of Quran, it really highlights who Allah is and who Allah is not. Because some people may be under the impression that Allah, A-L-L-A-H, is another god, a creation of man, and is a man, Allah is a man, but none of these things are true. And so maybe I could give a brief explanation of who Allah is and who Allah is not. And so let's go to the 112th chapter of Quran, where it says, and I'll read it very quickly in Arabic. And it says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And what is in the English transmission, or the rough English translation, I'm sorry, is, He is Allah, one. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none comparable to him. And so let's look at this, the tafsir, or the explanation of this particular surah or chapter. As-Samad itself is the one, and this comes from Tafsir Ibn Kathir, a great person who was very good and translate or give an explanation of what each verse means. And so a lot of people use Ibn Kathir as translation of Tafsir. That's IBN and then Kathir, KATHIR. And I'm going to draw a lot from what he said, his tafsir or explanation of the Quran. And let's start with As-Samad. As-Samad is a one who does not give birth, nor is he born, because there is nothing that is born except that it will die. And there is nothing that dies except that it leaves behind an inheritance. And indeed Allah does not die and does not leave behind inheritance. A lot of the time people want to know the lineage of Allah. Where did Allah come from? Where was Allah? What was Allah's beginning? And we know when Allah ends when he dies. And so in Islam, we don't believe in that. We believe that Allah has no beginning, and that Allah has no end, and nothing gave birth to Allah, and Allah will not die. He is not human like we are, and it is nothing comparable to Allah. So this particular chapter explains that Kuhul Ahad Allahu Samad Lam Yalid Walam Yulad Walam Yakul Lahu Kufuwan Ahad. And so we get into this a little bit more. Lam Yakul Lahu Kufuwan Ahad to the end. And there is nothing comparable to Allah. This means that there is none similar to him, none equal to him, and there is nothing at all like him. There's nothing similar to Allah. So now you have a better understanding the Islamic belief, the Muslim belief. Some people, they believe that Allah is in a tree, and that Allah is a rock or a stone or something they created with their own hands. That's where Prophet Abraham went to with his father, who was the maker of idols. And Abraham like wondered, why are you making these idols? Why are you doing this? And why are the people worshiping idols, the things that they make with their own hands? And so he scratched his head and wondered about that. He even got to the point where he was going to worship the sun. And then when the sun set, he said, how can I worship a God that, I mean, during the day he's good. You can see him brightly, but at night I can't see him. Same thing with the moon. I can worship the moon all night long, but in the day I cannot see the moon or the stars. I see them at night on some nights. Some nights I don't see them, or I don't see them during the day. You'll see that my God is there all the time, not all the time, every place I am, and not just at one point of time. And so let me go to the rest of this, my beautiful students, and that is, the Prophet sent a man as a commander of a war expedition. And he used to lead his companions in prayer with recitation of Quran. And when he will complete his recitation with the recitation of, say, he is Allah, one, meaning Kuhul Ahad. So when they returned, they mentioned that to the Prophet, may peace be upon him, and he said, ask him, why does he do that? So they asked him, and he said, because it is the description of Rahman, the merciful, and I love to recite it. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, inform him that Allah Most High loves him. He loves Allah and loves the fact that it mentions about Allah over and over again. And the Prophet said, look, okay, he loves Allah, and tell this man that Allah also loves him. And in a similar explanation, if you will, when a man loved reciting Kuhul Ahad, this particular chapter. And it says that a man from the Ansar used to lead the people in prayer in the Masjid of Quba. This is a place in Medina. Whenever he began to assure and the recitation of Quran, recitation of prayer, then he was leading them and would start by reciting and say, he is Allah, one, until he completed the entire surah. Meaning the surah I'm talking about now, Kuhul Ahad Allahu Samad Lam Yalid Walam Yulad Walam Yakul Lahu Kufuwan Ahad. Then he will recite another surah along with it, after it. And you should do this in every unit of prayer. So his companion spoke to him and about this, saying, rarely you begin the prayer with this surah, meaning this particular chapter. Then you think that it is not sufficient. So, excuse me, you recited another surah as well. So you should either recite it or leave it and recite another surah instead. So the man replied, I will not leave it off. If you want me to continue to lead you in prayer, I will do this. If you do not like it, I will leave you, meaning that I will stop leading you. Then they used to consider him to be the best of them, to lead them in prayer, so they did not want anyone else to lead them in another prayer or take his place. So when the prophet came, they informed him of the information and said, he said, what prevented you from doing what your companions are commanding you to do? So what makes you adhere to recitation of this surah or this chapter in every rakah or in every unit? The man said, verily, I love it. The prophet replied, you love it, or you love your love of it caused you to enter paradise, or enter Jannah. This is a very beautiful and powerful chapter in the Quran. People loved it so much because it identified the oneness of Allah. I love this. I love saying this surah. I might say other ones, but I love saying this surah, and then I'll say some other ones, or sometimes I just say this surah, and that's it. Look, you don't want to follow me? You don't have to follow me. But I love this surah. It gets me closer to Allah, my love for Allah. He is Ar-Rahman. He is the merciful. Remind me of Allah, and I'm going to keep doing it. And if you don't like it, have someone else take my place. It's such a beautiful thing about this particular chapter. Chapter in the Quran. It also says that he begets not, nor is he begotten. He is not born, and no one is he born from. And it is none like unto him. And he has no son, or no daughter, or no mother. This is the belief of the Muslims. I know that some people do not believe that, but that's your choice to believe or not to believe. We don't have any control over that. But this class is designed and formulated to teach you about Islam and belief of the Muslim. And you may not agree with it. And we're not here to convince you to agree with it. We want you to have a better understanding of who we are. And what we're all about, and what we worship, and what we believe in, and what we do not believe in. Nothing takes the place of what we believe in. We don't add anything, or commit bidah, if you will. We don't add anything to it, and we don't take anything away from it. It is not our right to do so. We are not like some men, women too, but people. Is that they replace some of the words of Allah or the verses in some of the scriptures that he sent to mankind. And so, no, we don't do that. No matter how many people disagree with us and call us all kinds of names, it does not really matter to us what you call us and what you feel about us. Because we're not here to please you. We're here to please Allah. And, of course, you're welcome to embrace Islam, or you're welcome not to. That is your choice. We are not twisting your arm. We cannot make you become a Muslim or make you believe in what we believe in. Well, we can only tell you what we believe in, and then you decide if you want to get on board the train or you don't want to get on board the train. And that's, of course, all your choice. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, by he in whose hand is my soul, really it is equivalent of one-third, meaning Quran, is equivalent of this particular chapter in the Quran, it's equivalent to one-third of Quran, or equivalent to the weight of the Quran, and understanding the oneness of Allah. And so it talks about some of the things that happened in the past in the Quran. It gives the rules and regulations in the Quran. It tells who Allah is in the Quran. All these various things you can find in the Quran. I kind of summarize what's in those 114 verses that Allah put to mankind or gave to mankind. And so this is so I want to also mention to you all is that just reading these few verses is one of the essence of Quran. It's one third of the Quran in its value. When time the prophet asked the people, you know, like, you want to read one third of Quran, or how many of you can read one third of the Quran in one night or one sitting? And they basically say, you know, we can't do that. How can we do that? He said, just read this. Kuvalau Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid Walam Yulad, Walam Yakullahu Kufwan Ahad. And they have read one third of the Quran, or the value of one third of the Quran. And so I just wanted to mention this to my beautiful students, so you also have an understanding of the same and the value of this particular chapter in the Quran. I want to read something else to you, and that is what one of the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, we became thirsty, and it had become dark while we were waiting for the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, to lead us in prayer. Then, when he came out, he took me by my hand, this particular companion, meaning Abdullah, and said, Kul, he would say. Then he was silent. Then he said again, say. So I said, what should I say? He said, Kul huwallahu ahad. And you already know what that means. Say, he is Allah one. And so then he also mentions the other the last two surahs of Quran, or chapter of Quran, to also say that. But the value here is that he was trying to also tell him that basically when you go to bed at night, you say the three kul, kul al ahad, kul al rabb al falak, and kul al rabb al nas. And you sort of say these three, blowing your hand and kind of wave over your body, then you have protection overnight. And also along with that, the other one beautiful chapter or verse in Quran is what they call the 255th verse, chapter 2, the 255th verse in the Surah Al-Baqarah, and this is the Kursi, the seat or the throne, and it's also, you can read it for yourself. That's your homework. You can read chapter 2, verse 255, and it really explains to the people who Allah is. Like this particular whole chapter explains who Allah is and who Allah is not. And also in chapter 2, verse 255, it explains who Allah is and who Allah is not. That Allah does not sleep, does not slumber, it does not get tired. And so you can read that for yourself, and that is your homework for me, just to read it and get some understanding regarding it and get a better understanding of who Allah is. Don't guess who the Muslims worship. No, who Allah worship. So next time someone opens their mouth and say, the Muslim worship a man. No, we don't worship a man. We don't worship Muhammad. May peace and blessing be upon him. And we only worship Allah, who is not created by anyone. We worship the Creator, which is Allah, and not the creation. So I want you all to be very clear about that, my beautiful students. And so I'm going to stop at this time. I have much more to talk about and explain to you regarding this particular, the tafsir, the explanation of this particular chapter. But I won't go into it. I'll let you digest what I said. And also, don't forget your homework. That's going to be chapter 2, verse 255, and that's read it for yourself. The verse, Ayatul Kursi, and the chair or the throne, and read it for yourself. So you have those two items in from Quran that'll tell you who Allah is and who Allah is not. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.